Deaconess Freeman, if you would lead us in prayer as we start this Easter Sunday service.
Good morning, everyone. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, this is the morning in which your Son appeared to those who had lost hope and opened their eyes to the Scripture that he would die and rise and ascend into the glorious presence of his Holy Father. Through the raising of your Son, Jesus Christ, you open the way for us to have eternal life. And we celebrate today and pray that you raise each of us to renew our lives by your Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Lord, we thank you for this day. We pray for our brothers and sisters in the Lord and ask that you strengthen them with your Holy Spirit.
Please, Father.
We pray for our friends and family members, for those who do not have a personal relationship with you. We ask, Father, that you rescue them from a domain of darkness. We ask that you allow your Holy Spirit to convict them of their sin in their lives and for them to repent and follow the way of your truth, your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you help them to hear your word with power and conviction so that Satan will be unable to steal the word from their hearts.
Well,
until that day, until they find their way, Father, we ask that you show them grace and mercy. As you did for each of us.
Yes.
And we ask that you empower this hour with the blessing of your Holy Spirit, Father. And we know through our personal relationship with you that your will for us is granted to anything that we ever imagined. Father, we ask that you light our path so that we might see the way to use the Holy Ghost and use the Holy Ghost to strengthen us whenever we are threatened by fear or temptation.
Well,
let us always remember, dear Lord, that no matter what happens, we have no excuse for sinning. And we ask that you destroy the wicked and their devices against us. And let them not prosper, Father. Lord Jesus, more than anything, we thank you for going out before us in spiritual battle. And thank you for reminding us that the battle has already been won.
Yes,
we merely need to be obedient and faithful to witness and take part in your mighty victory, which is won not by our works, Father, but rather by the shed blood of the risen Jesus Christ. Father, we ask you to bless Bishop Cuff, his wife and his family, and each and every member of the Word of God Church.
Please, Lord.
To guide them as they walk through difficult moments and fill their hearts with your Holy Spirit and give them your peace. We ask that you continue to anoint Bishop Cuff with your holiness and to use him as a vessel to deliver your word to your humble flock. Gracious Father, we ask that you bless each member of the Word of God Church and the Julius C. Freeman Outreach Ministry, that each member continue to give their hearts and souls to do your works, Father,
yes, Father,
and deepen their love and strength for each other. Thank you for our church family, Father, another one of your gifts of grace.
Yes.
Pray that you continue to build our family spiritually. Father, we pray for men and women in the military and ask that you protect them, encourage them, and strengthen their spirit, their soul, and their body as they carry out their duties. You protect their families and give the families the strength to bear whatever they must. And thank you, Father, for sending Brother Joseph back to his family.
Thank you, Lord.
To our fellowship. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. At the church, amen.
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 Allow people to work their way back into this room here before we get started. I've come to the conclusion that it's hard to compete against pastries. I'll let everybody get their pastries. You guys over there? So my little grandson that I missed for a couple of weeks sitting up here. Bless you. If you have your Bibles as we get started this Easter Sunday morning, turn to John chapter 12 and just hold your place there. John chapter 12. I hope you've had time this week to go through your Bible and read the different accounts of what happened to our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, I've tried to send you emails up and through Friday that give you historical perspective, scripturally speaking, so that you have a clear understanding. The devil's mission is to deceive us. Amen?
Amen.
It's to cause us to not to know the truth, but that we will, like Jesus said, we will follow traditions rather than the truth. Before we started, I was talking to some of the members, and I made reference to the fact that when I was a child, Easter was the only time that I got new clothes. I was decked from my shoes all the way up to my shirt and tie. And all the children in my community, when we went to church, we had fresh duds on, but no Christ in our heart. To reflect now on that is symbolic, because the reality is still true some 64 years later, that people still don't know the truth. And without the truth, we'll never be set free. Amen?
Amen.
So this morning, I beg your indulgence by the aid and the power of the Holy Spirit, that as we start this journey this morning, that you know, number one, that the Holy Spirit is in charge.
Amen.
And that you will be fed from on high. And it is my desire, as always, that you have knowledge, and that with knowledge you will add righteousness and holiness and live a godly life in this short life that we have here on earth. I had the occasion to listen at a motivational speaker, which I find that most of them are really quoting the scriptures. They just don't use them. But he was talking about the sowing and reaping, which you know is one of my favorite words, that you reap what you sow.
Amen.
And he was emphasizing the fact that some seeds fall on the stony ground. And you know the story, the parable. And the bottom line was that most seeds do not get fertilized. They don't grow. And he used it in the sense of today, that most people will either get distracted, will miss the mark of growing because of conditions. And so this morning I want to take you through this service of Easter in a slightly different way, and you'll see it hopefully when it starts to unfold itself. The title of the sermon today is Do Not Believe, They Did Not Believe in Him. And you have one verse in John chapter 12. And that is John chapter 12, verse 37. John chapter 12, verse 37. And it reads, even after Jesus had done all these miracle signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. Today at this Easter morning service, we gather here in the quietness of each one of our sanctuaries, the sanctuary here and in out in the western part of the country, and in Northern Virginia and in Maryland. In the simplicity and the silence of Easter service, church, we join the procession of those of the ages past. Amen?
Amen.
The mood and the atmosphere of this morning serves us well. I recall many years on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, when I lived in Kim and Melvin Senior's home, that one Easter Sunday morning, because Connie and I used to get up and go to sunrise service. I remember walking outside and watching the clouds, almost like the heavens were opening up. and I just was all overtaken by it. It was almost strickening on me. I had to see, to know that something on that order could have been the order of the day. On that morning when Mary and Martha got up, and the other women who made their way to the tomb where Jesus was supposedly lying. And when they got there, he was not there. The scripture says that it happened at the dawn of the day. Because of Jewish customs, they could not go before that day. He was crucified, as you well know, on Friday. And sometime after the crucifixion, that crucifying moment, he was taken down off the cross. And a rich man, the scripture says, went to the authorities and asked them permission to take Jesus to a grave that he had built, or not built, but carved out of the side of a mountain for himself. And that had to take place, as you know, before the sun went down. Because once the sun went down, the day of preparation took over. And I've talked to you about that day of preparation. It hadn't gone away. It's basically our Saturday. It's the day before the Sabbath. And the end result is that people then, as now, acknowledge that. Jewish people to this day. I was interested in Brother Lieberman with John McCain on their fact-finding mission. May God have mercy on our souls. Y'all caught that. I gotta be careful what I say since this is out over on the internet. Not that I know anybody in Word of God Church is running for any office, but just in case. The bottom line, though, is that Lieberman normally walks to his service. And I wonder how did he do that when he was over in a Arab country. But we're not going there. But we're back on the point that what happened Friday, and I've sent you sufficient information, and I know you already had gleaned a lot of this, was the start of the end of a glorious and beautiful thing. And that is when Jesus went to the place of the skull. And his hands were nailed to that old rugged cross. And his mother was there and saw that. And I reflected upon that thought, that what would a mother do to see what her son went through? She saw him when they took those whips with nails in them and scourged him on the back and just plain abused him. And the crowds who just a day or two before, a week before Palm Sunday, had said, "Hosanna." And then now they're saying, "Crucify him." It reflected in my spirit on the fact that man is useless. Amen. Without God and his son Jesus in their heart, because they will go from one extreme to the other. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Man is a troubled being, and one that needs to be brought back under the control of the Almighty God. And this morning, I don't want to go into that, but to deal with this matter of what happened to Jesus and about those people who did not believe in him. As Jesus ended his life here in the physical, he said seven last words, which I want to make sure that you know what they are. I remember the church, and I can remember, I've only preached in so many churches, it's not hard for me to remember which ones it was. The first word was found in Luke, the 23rd chapter, and verses 33 and 34. I take it that everybody in the sound of my voice has a pen and a pencil and is taking notes. If you're not, don't deceive yourself. And I'm not only talking about the church that's here, but those who will get this DVD or CD. Don't fool yourself. You don't retain as much as you think you do. But if you write it down, you can always go back and check your notes. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Luke chapter 23 and verse 33 to 31 deals with that Jesus was nailed to the cross and with two criminals. One was on his right and one was on his left. And Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." Church, our Lord knew the condition of man. Amen?
Amen.
He knew that they needed forgiveness, for they were, in fact, crucifying the one that could save their wretched souls. His second word comes out of Luke chapter 23, verse 39 to 43. One of the criminals hanging there threw insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." You know, let me stop here for a minute. You know, that's just how the devil works. He does his dirt, and then he tries to draw you in and make sure that we're on the same plateau, that we're even. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
The other one, however, rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God?" Here we are all under the same sentence. Ours, however, is the only right one. For we are getting what we deserve. There goes my saying, they have reaped what they're now sowing. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
But he has done no wrong. And he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Jesus, when you come as king." And Jesus said to him, "I tell you this, today you will be in paradise with me." What a powerful thing for our Lord to tell a human being. His third word comes out of John chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. The third last words of Jesus. Standing close to Jesus' cross was his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Caiaphas, and Mary Magdalene. Jesus saw his mother and the disciples he loved standing there. So he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to his disciples, "Here is your mother." And from that time, his disciples took care of his mother at home. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
The fourth word, Jesus' last word, comes out of Mark chapter 15, verse 33 and 34. When the sixth hour had come, there was a darkening over the whole land under the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" What a powerful cry from the Son of God. In John chapter 19, verse 28, we find the fifth word. After this, Jesus, knowing all was not finished, said, and he said this to fulfill the scriptures, "I thirst." And in John 19, again, verse 29 and 30, which is the sixth word, are you with me?
Amen.
There was a bowl that was full of cheap wine and vinegar. Let me stop you for a minute. You know, when you really go back and reflect on what happened there, and as we progress further, I'll show you the parallel between what's going on today. They went and got the cheapest wine. And then that wasn't good enough. you know, people who wine here, they don't drink, don't want to drink no cheap wine, because cheap wine gives you a hangover. And it wasn't no different in Christ's time. Cheap wine had very little value. You remember at the wedding where Jesus turned the water into wine? He didn't turn it into cheap wine. He turned it into good wine. But here they also mixed it with vinegar. Uh-huh. And on a sponge, which was it was soaked in hops. And I'm not going into it, but you read up on what hops is and what it's used for. And lifted up to his lips after he had just said, I thirst. And when Jesus had received the wine, he said, it is finished. And finally, the seventh word of Jesus, the seventh, is found in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, and said, Father, unto thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. God have mercy on mankind, for they had crucified the risen Savior. They watched his body as he breathed its last and died. The people who watched it that were related to Jesus were women. These women saw all close up, right at the foot of Christ, and huddled together for strength. Listen at me. Women still bear that obligation, and in those who are holy women still are close to Christ. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
Women who acknowledge our Lord and Savior, don't try to outdo men, and don't let education fool them. The simplicity of these women is worth being noted this morning. Church, it was awful, horrible, gut-wrenching. These women watched Jesus' body as it was taken down from the cross. They followed at a distance to see where Jesus was to be buried. It was Friday, late afternoon, and the Sabbath rule dictated that they had to go home. I've told you this in the past. God bless you, son. I've told you this in the past. And they, on Sunday morning at the break of dawn, the first day of the week, take note of that, the first day that they could grieve and pay homage to Jesus' body, these same women quietly walked along the path to the place of Jesus' burial. It was still dark, church. It was before the break of dawn. I don't know about you, but I'm normally woke before the break of dawn. There is a eerie silence and a peacefulness at that hour in the morning. Not much is moving. And outside my window, the birds start chirping at the break of dawn. It's still dark. Try it sometime. Get up out of your slumber and listen at birds in the dark. Start praising God. And so we see the story as it unfolds, that this group of women were there. The scripture says there were three or four or five. But the Gospel of John does not focus in on this group of women, but focuses in on one particular woman. Just one, Mary Magdalene. What's her name? The Gospel of John tells us that Easter story about Mary Magdalene. And I invite you to read the scriptures to understand. I had the blessedness and thanks to those members who provided me with this massive sets of CDs. And I want to thank you and remind you that I am using them. I listened at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John last evening, nonstop. up until 2 or 3 in this morning. It is a blessing to be in the presence of God in His Word.
Amen.
Don't fool yourself.
Amen.
I was blessed because I heard things that I had not read. But I heard them, and it was clear to me. I heard one place where Jesus sent out one of his disciples out to pick up a fish. And in that fish's mouth laid the taxes, the money that was due Caesar. Now, I don't remember ever reading that. I asked Connie, she had, but I hadn't. I read about the fish when he sent them out in those same chapters, and they went out and they had so much fish that they had to go call another boat to load it on. You see, all these things that were shown, our text deals with. The testimony of the Father through signs. You know, we studied those when we studied on our Bible study. The testimony of the Father through Scripture. John records that many did not believe Jesus. And for the balance of my time this morning, church, I want to speak to you from the subject. They did not believe in him. In all fairness to those whom have gone before us, John refers not to have the fullness of the evidence presented in the gospel. In other words, some might not have believed because they did not see all of the signs. And some may have been ignorant of the scriptures and their testimonies concerning Jesus. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
And they had yet to be given witness to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But even with the fullness of evidence provided in the Gospel of John, many still did not believe Jesus in those days. And sadly to say, many do not believe in Jesus today. Can I get a witness? I was puzzled, and it really concerns me. Why? Why did they not believe? They saw enough of what he did. And why today are so many who do not believe? Come on with me. As I try to give you some insight, John mentioned several in the course of his gospel, which may help us understand why many people do not believe even today. For example, church, one reason many fail is to believe is in Jesus was a lack of spiritual perception. Now, I want you to take some good notes because I want to make sure that you don't fall into any of these categories. And for those of you who will listen to this on CD, you need to replay this so that you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you do not fall into any of the categories I'm going to discuss now. Number one is the lack of spiritual perception. Their focus was on material things. Come on, church, walk with me. Their focus was on material things. Amen, lights.
Amen.
They were impressed by the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. They wanted to make him their king because a guy who could do that was okay with them. Y'all can say amen if the Spirit moves you.
Amen.
They saw him as someone who would meet their material needs. This discourse on the bread of life caused many to leave, which you'll find in John chapter 6, verse 60. And let me read that one to you. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" In John chapter 6, verse 66, we find these words: "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Listen closely, church. It is not easy to follow Jesus. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And many look for things in Jesus that are easy and makes it a good little Easter Bunny show. I stop by to tell you that is not the case. Point in question. This week, as you all know, we've had a series of endless snippets and clippings from Jeremiah Wright. And if you did any sense of observation and listened at what he said and not go to YouTube and listen at it from a spiritual perspective, you will hear him say the same things that Scripture says, that no one gets away with ungodliness. You will reap what you sow. He does not spare people. He does not spare churches. He does not spare cities, nor does he spare nations. The problem that we face today is a lack of spiritual perception, because all the pundits and all the commentary was that what was said went against this country. And to say that God damned America is somehow unpatriotic. Listen at me closely. That's the problem with mankind. He's not concerned with spiritual perception. He's concerned with worldly possessions.
Amen.
And worldly thoughts and political correctness. I stop by to tell you that that is not the requirement of the Scriptures. And if you don't stand for it, you'll fall for this trick that's being perpetrated on the masses of Americans and those who hold themselves out to be the intelligente and the wise people in this land. My Lord said that he will confound the wisdom of the wise. I found with great interest that John Hagee, who I've heard numerous times speak truth, by the way, about people who go after Israel. And interestingly, I heard not one snippet about what he has said.
Amen.
Nor Pat Robinson.
Amen.
Nor this other brother that's been around for a long time. Yes, Jerry Falwell, who's passed on, and others. You can go down a whole litany of them. Not one. No one's challenged the ministers and pulled up snippets of the other candidates. You see, this lack of spiritual perception is taking its toll. And so I want you as believers to be aware. It is not easy to follow Christ. It's so easy to follow. You see, this young man could have very easily just said, I get out, I'm no longer part of it, Oprah did it, and walk away. God watches our actions when we're under fire. He says that you are sheep for the slaughter. Now you have a sense of what the slaughter is. Can I get a witness? And so you make no mistake about it, I don't care who wins. Because none of them are capable and able to do what Christ can do.
Amen.
And this nation many years ago chose not to be a Christian nation. And the rest history will clearly lay out, and it is, and it has. You see, we have been told in John chapter 6 verse 27, that the everlasting food is Christ Jesus. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
He's the bread of life. And our life needs to be totally confined and defined by our relationship with Christ. But we spent our time, like I told you last week, back and forth in conversations about all this foolishness that's going on. And it is foolishness. It's deception and lies and conniving. And we all feed into this mess. Where's the conversation about Christ from day to day and from hour to hour? I submit to you it's a lack of spiritual perception today. You see, we're looking for material things. They want the church, and we want the church to be a physical need filler. I've yet to preach the sermon, and I will when God gives it to me, that Jesus is no genie. You can't rub his stomach and get what you want. But the arrogance and ignorance of man thinks that's his purpose on this Easter Sunday morning. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
They want the church to entertain them and their children. Across the land today, you will have all varieties of music. You'll have on one side hymns and proper songs. And on the other side, you'll have step dancing and flag waving throughout the sanctuary and people hollering and sweating and ain't got no deodorant on.
Amen.
And I submit that either side that you're on is not the right side, for there is no emotion in serving God. It's by the power and the aid of the Holy Spirit. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I'm thankful this morning there will be no singing in Word of God Church, but there will be teaching and preaching. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I don't know if anybody will sing their way into glory, nor step dancing, or nor sing nice hymns. You know, I go back to the Mormons. They have this massive angelical choir with these great big organs. Have anybody seen them?
Yes, amen.
Because the only way you go, any of y'all go see them is on television, because you ain't going up in there, that's for sure.
Amen.
And therein lies this misperception spiritually that God is in the midst of all that, when the simple truth is that God's sanctuary is in the hearts and souls of men and women, boys and girls. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt that this church's mission is the Word of God, and to make this matter our paramount mission at the Word of God Church and the Julius C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministry. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Which is the primary mission of all of his churches. Listen at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. If I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Matthew's the 28th chapter, verse 19 through 20, reads as follows. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Listen at me, church. There's the mandate that we have on our back. It's not to scream and holler and dance and step dance, but to teach them to obey. We have many who in churches do everything but that. They build great edifices and they have this intellectual level and they have snack bars. And I passed the church I was licensed through, got a fleet of vans out there. I call them unholy vans. The Bible said that mothers should stay home and raise their children with the admiration of the Lord in them. And what do churches do? They have massive daycare centers. Amen, lights. God's word is true, and every man be a liar. You see, they look elsewhere, seeking to find the church of their choice. You know, church, I had to wrestle with this for years. I've had people to insult me and say that a Word of God church is just you and those few people there. I've had people that I hold dear to my heart. I see when we were on Woodman Road and in that old 7-Eleven converted church building, hallelujah, ride by me in their cars. And inwardly, my heart just broke, but I had to keep on doing God's work. I've had people who stormed out of the church with anger. Listen at me. If you serve the risen Savior, you will suffer, I tell you. If you're not suffering, you're not serving. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
If I could count the times I've been told, what kind of preacher are you? You listen closely. When you follow Jesus as his disciples, it's a hard road. And not only for you, but for the church that you belong to, any relationship to the real Christ is hard.
Amen.
Of course, men don't want to hear it. They don't want you to tell them to stop sinning.
Amen.
Y'all might as well say amen. That's the last thing they want to do. They don't care what their condition is because they're blinding. Cannot see. And they have ears and cannot hear. They have been taken off the mark, and now they just funnel in darkness. And when you bring light to them, it hurts their eyes and it bothers their ears.
Amen.
Scripture says they want people around them that feed their itching ears. And I pray by now everybody knows that Joel Osteen, who has 40 million, 1,000 people in two or three services. Don't you hear Jesus saying, only a few will follow me? And others say that that's the servant of God who tells you to be happy. Don't worry. You can be gay and you can be sin. Just enjoy life. Jesus does not teach that. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we find these words. But seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. Things, my friends, that you need, not what you want. Can I get a witness? That's why people go and have this lack of spiritual knowledge is because they don't want to go through the rigors and the hard war that you have to go through when you follow Christ.
Amen.
You see, the content with the spiritual nature of the kingdom is something we're required to do in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. See, we are willing to accept the true demands of the faith in Jesus. We also read that many refuse to confess Jesus because the fear and the moral cowardice. That's what we saw this week. Not one preacher came on national TV and said that what this man said, even though it had fiery rhetoric to it, it's sound in the scriptures. Pat Robinson said it, and you know, it's really interesting how ignorant people are in this country and how the news media is corrupted. All they had to do was go back and pull up all the tapes of Jerry Falwell and John Hagee. I mean, you can't find one in the so-called evangelicals who have not said the same thing. What a bunch of hypocrites. And fear and moral cowardice causes this. You see, the people are afraid of what others might think. Oh, y'all come on with me.
Amen.
I remember a departed deacon that was in this church, grandmother, I don't even know if she's still living, had one day called me up and said, Bishop Cuff, could you make Ronnie wear a suit and tie to church? He's a deacon, and he shouldn't be coming to church with a short-sleeved shirt on and a pair of trousers. And I wanted to tell her, but out of respect for her age, I'm saying, well, I come there with short-sleeved shirts on, and if you don't watch me, I have sweatpants on. Listen at me closely. People fear man more than they fear God. People are afraid to confess Christ. And they normally be around others who have stepping stones that block the pathway to true worship. Listen at me. The multitude are afraid of what the Jews might think. John 7 and 13 tells us. And so were the parents of the blind man in John 9, 20 and 22. And some of the rulers were afraid of the Pharisees in John chapter 12, verse 42 to 43. And Pilate was fearful of what Caesar might hear in John chapter 19. Verse 12 and 13. Did you get that? All through the scriptures, we see that people did not have the moral character to stand up in the face of criticism. Many fear what others might think today, church. Listen at me, a fear that their peers at school might ridicule them. You know, the Bible says the more knowledge you get, the further you walk from Christ. In other words, let me put it another way. Man's knowledge is what? It's folly. It's foolishness. But we've got those in our community who go to college and get a graduate degree or undergraduate degree, and somehow they're too above Jesus. They're too above what Matthew's, the 28th chapter, tells us to do. And so they join houses of worship where I saw yesterday afternoon two big loudmouth crows walking around outside drinking water. And it was interesting to me because the old saying, birds of the feathers flock together. And where one crow went, the other one went. When one crowed, the other one crowed. And one took off flying, and he went right with him. And that's what we find in churches today. You find like-minded people in churches. Go look in a parking lot and see what cars are out there. Oh, y'all, come on, you might as well say amen. Church that I was licensed in, I remember one Sunday, the pastor decided since he was balding to cut all his hair off. And doggone it, next Sunday there weren't four or five deacons with bald heads sitting up in there. And one Sunday he wore a pretty polka dot bow tie. And doggone it, next Sunday there weren't two or three of them sitting up there with polka dot bow ties on. Listen to me, birds of the feathers flock together.
Amen.
And doggone it, the Word of God Church, if everybody ain't sitting up here with T-shirts and sweatshirts and blue jeans on. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Birds of the feathers. You see, we are today afraid of what our coworkers might say or how they might ostracize us. And that's why when they come and say, are you going with us to TDF Friday or to Joe's Bar and Grill? Oh, y'all come on with me now. I might not have the name of the places right. And you take Christ and you put him in your back pocket and say, whose car are we going in? Oh, come on, somebody. I remember getting ridiculed several times at Bank of America because all the management team would go to football games in Baltimore. Well, y'all know I wasn't gonna go get on no bus ride up here, people drinking beer and the liquor all the way to Baltimore. Well, everybody can say amen to that, because you know the bishop ain't going nowhere. He ain't got to go. But listen at this. Are you a part of the crowd? Or are you standing up for Jesus? Do you put your religion in your pocket and follow the birds of the feathers? If you do, I submit to you that you have fear and moral cowardice. Christ needs people who will stand up for him. Back in the day and today, can I get a witness?
Amen.
Last on this point is that we are afraid to speak up because it's politically incorrect or religiously intolerant. Give me a break. Jesus said, if you're afraid to confess me before men, I will be afraid to confess you before my Father. Keep on ignoring when you should speak up. If you hear the truth I tried to teach you in this church, you ought to say what?
Amen.
I don't care who you're saying it to. But if you're worried about your political conditions at work, at school, at play, with your friends, listen at me. I don't want a friend that I can't acknowledge Christ. Because the Father told us, come out from among them who are not like-minded. For you young people, don't date anyone who you have not screened to see if they're a believer.
Amen.
I don't care how they look. Listen to me. Looks are deceiving. I learned that a long, long time ago. Let me share a story with you. I ain't going to have too many of them. I'm trying to get finished for the sake of the day and the time. One day when I was stationed in Fort Benning, Georgia, I worked on what is called, we call back in those days, Project Transition. You know, Bishop Cuffer's always trying to take advantage of a business opportunity, and the Army gave me one. Said that you can go work for a company part-time, and the government will pay for it. And that's what I did. Well, one day I pulled up in front of this insurance company I was working with, I saw two things. I saw a sign that said it was 104 degrees. And hopefully my wife won't take this Bible and punch me upside the head with it, but I also saw a beautiful lady on the sidewalk. I got out of my car and said, wow. And go ahead and laugh, Wayne. The closer I get, her beauty was fading away. And you know why? She was cussing like a sailor. The words that were coming out of her mouth turned her into a dragon. I've never heard a woman cuss like that then or ever since. She was cussing a man out. I've never heard such foul language out of her mouth. And keep in mind, my ears aren't tuned like they are now. Because, see, I could cuss you out too back then, more than I can now. But I've never heard a woman utter such terrible vulgarity. And so all what appeared to be beauty turned into a demon. And maybe that's a lesson that God wanted somebody here this morning. Don't judge beauty by outward appearance. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You better check the heart and soul. And if you don't hear Jesus somewhere in there, move on while you have the chance. My mother, God rest her soul, taught us something along those lines. It said, don't date an ugly woman. Because you never know what might happen. Now, my mother wasn't the smartest chick around. But my mother knew what she was talking about. You see, my wife just so y'all know, when I laid eyes on it, the first time I saw her, I was mesmerized.
Amen.
And I said, man, who is that brick house?
Mighty Mighty.
Mighty Mighty. Yes, I did. Yeah, I'm telling you, I did. And he's 64 years old now, almost. And when we go walk in the morning, I always am happy when Connie gets in front of me. Because I know I'll make it around the mall. Because I just like her little short neck and the way she be walking. You see, that's God's grace to me. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
That's his mercy to me. After all these years, I love my wife.
Amen.
Praise God.
Now, sometimes she don't think I do when I get off up in here. And I do, and I ask God every time to forgive me. There's only certain things set me off. And we ain't going into that this morning. Matthew, and Foo's one of them, by the way. Priscilla sat here one day when saw my rage about food. I don't know who went and brought it. Went to Sam, Famous Dave's.
Amen.
And Priscilla sat right here, and she, God bless her. She tried to calm the storm, but it was too late. And come back with this great big $54 worth of food and no sauce. Whoever heard eating Famous Dave with no sauce? Yeah, I kept looking. There had to be one in there. Don't hand me no ketchup. I wanted Famous Dave. For those of y'all who know what Famous Dave's is, you know what I'm talking about. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Matthew's chapter 10, verse 28 says, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul.
Amen.
Rather be afraid of the one who can kill, can destroy both soul and body. Listen to me. Don't be a coward. Don't be afraid to speak for Christ.
Amen.
You see, the fear of losing acceptance and being outcast has many unwilling to believe in Jesus, church.
Amen.
When there were those who had misplaced love, which is our next subject. You have to understand certain principles. You see, people today, as in crisis day, had love in the wrong places. Oh, y'all come on with me now.
Amen.
They did not love God. Scripture bears witness. John chapter 5, verse 42 and 43 reads as follows. But I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his other name, you will accept them. Oh, ain't that the truth? We don't want to hear from the preacher, man, but we'll jump up and down when somebody comes to town, go be at the town hall. Oh, y'all not hearing me.
Amen.
You go watch Twiggly Wiggly and what's the guy you like? The comedians. Bruce. Won't miss that. And won't miss the new movie that just came out. Oh, y'all, come on, walk with me, lights. But have no love for Christ. You see, the Bible said where your heart is, then also you'll find your treasures.
Amen.
You see, instead, they love was in such things as darkness, which they did not want to give up. John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20 bears that out. It says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear his deeds will be exposed. You see what you're up against, church?
Amen.
You know, if you want to test somebody, you know, and the Bible requires us to test all spirits. Start talking about Christ in your daily conversation. Young ladies, if you want to find out if a young man has got Christ in his heart, when he's sitting up there talking about, I love you, you say, and I love Jesus. What do you think about that? Watch how the subject changes. You see, he can't get into bed with Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, y'all come on with me.
Amen.
See, the glory of man wanting to be praised by man. John 12. You might want to read verses 1 through 50. I won't do it this morning. You see, we have the flesh that is ungodly. We want the praises. We don't want to give Christ the praises. Can I witness? Get a witness.
Amen.
Suffering material things is the case that is laid out in John chapter 12, verse 6. You see, many church have misplaced love today. Let me cover a couple of them for you. A love of family. One of the biggest misplaced loves today is the love of family.
Amen.
Jesus says that if you love mother, father, sister, brother, husband, son or daughter more than you love me, you're what? You're not worthy to be my disciples. We who are believers are mandated. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. And it tells you that they had everything in common. They ate together. They socialized together. The church today does everything but that. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
They go to church on Sunday, and when they leave, the family, if they even have anything to do with their family, takes paramount, not the church. Y'all might say amen.
Amen.
And the popularity of friends, I don't want to lose my friends, so I'm not going to talk to them about Christ. And then when they drop dead, you want the bishop to talk to the ones left. Come on, y'all. If you love someone, you talk to them about Christ. When they're dead, it ain't no use saying nothing to nobody.
Amen.
Amen.
Like Connie just said, it's too late. And so you have been with them day in and day out. You see the ungodliness in them. And you've gone along with it because you want them as your friend. Oh, y'all, come on with me. You've heard them cuss and swear for no apparent reason and steal stuff and sleep from man to man and woman to woman. But they're your friends. Amen, lights.
Amen.
I'm in the process right now of checking out someone who is a business partner with me. And they'll probably hear these tapes, and I've got many business partners, so you figure out which one, and if it's you, now you know I'm looking into you. My Bible says that I am not to do business with ungodly people.
Amen.
See, let me tell you how this. If you seek, you'll go find. If you really don't care because you love them, you'll find out sometime the hard way. When you wake up one morning and look in the mirror and say, look like I'm losing weight in my face.
Amen.
You do reap what you sow. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And I would rather take the position I have. The first thing I'm going to do is check you out spiritually. First point. Go with somebody you don't know nothing about them. And then when they unload on you and cut up your arms and legs and put you in the refrigerator, then you why didn't we see the sign? I also remember Jeffrey Dahmer. Isn't that what they said? Nice blue-eyed, blonde-haired young fellow. Refrigerator full of bodies. Drums all over the house. He's just cutting them up.
Amen.
Now, they would have been better off to find out how spiritual he was.
They weren't spiritual themselves.
That's exactly right. Bree said they weren't spiritual themselves. They were living lifestyles that weren't godly. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Uh-huh. You do reap what you sow. Amen. You see, love of wealth is another problem, and habits and hobbies we have today. Listen to me, church. Nothing can go in front of the Christ. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Love for moral lifestyles, which they do want to give, don't want to give up. That's another major problem. We know the word. The question is, will we live the word? My precious grandson was sent to me as an angel. And God bless his little soul. He showed deep compassion to his grandfather.
Amen.
Like
Amen.
I told you, he asked his mother, let me call granddaddy. I have a funny feeling that he must have asked his mother. And she said, call your granddaddy. I ain't eating no pork. Huh?
Yeah, whenever he has a question, call Brandon.
Yeah, and he called me, and he was very keen the way he did it. He said, Granddaddy, where in the Bible does it say you can't eat pork? And me, unaware of the situation, went and showed him. And then the Spirit came on me. That's you he's talking about. Unbeknown to me, he smelled bacon that Sunday morning. And I had sat up here and had my full of it. But the bottom line to that story is, by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, I give homage and praise and almightiness to God. I have not touched anybody's pork since that day.
Amen.
I don't care. I'm checking it. And I don't even want and where's little Dwayne? Grandpa don't even want the artificial bacon, because it's full of all kinds of terrible things. The pork probably was better. But he was showed compassion to me, because you know what he said? He said, Granddaddy, maybe we can get you some turkey bacon. You know what? It is, anybody can tell you when you're doing something wrong. It takes a compassionate person to figure out to tell you with hope.
Amen.
And he didn't say, put that donut down, you're a diabetic. You see, anybody can tell you that. Someone could say, hold on a minute, I got you some diabetic donuts. They're around. Oh, yeah, they are. Now, you set a whole box of pastries in front of me, and I can't touch them. That's really showing compassion. I'm not talking about you. No, Mimi getting ready to swell up on me here. No, I'm not talking about you, Mimi. God bless Mimi. No, I'm not talking about you, babe. I'm not, But when you go the next time, ask, do they have it? But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the principle of how you try to correct or help somebody. Oh, y'all, I don't think y'all want to walk with me on that one.
Amen.
And so are you seeing this? Listen again. Matthew's the 22nd chapter, verse 37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Matthew's chapter 6, verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Amen.
And so what do we do tomorrow morning? Well, that's Monday. It might be holiday. Is it a holiday? No. So now they're going to go back to work full of pork, full of hardball eggs, speeding down the street. And I'm noticing speeders now, they got cell phones in one ear. How these people turning these wheels in one hand, I'll never know. They're wobbling all over the road trying to get to work, trying to call in. I'm downstairs, and they're three blocks away, getting me some coffee. You see, that's our belly is where our heart is at. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Now, misplaced love often blinds one to the evidence that they are lacking, and that is a hardening and prejudiced heart. I'm bringing this on down now. A hardening and prejudiced heart. You see, I have listened intently this week to prejudiced comments all week long behind Jeremiah Wright. Your first mission, church, is to know what you're prejudiced about, and that way you can get rid of it.
Amen.
Where you're blinded by prejudice, you are in danger of peril. The Pharisees were hardened by their tradition and making them blind to the miracles of Jesus performed in John chapter 9, verse 13 through 16. Anyone who harbors prejudice against his brother is in themselves in danger of the perils of a hardened and prejudiced heart and mind. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
We stand as a nation on the brink of this crisis. The homes in the Ninth Ward have still not been rebuilt.
Amen.
Y'all might as well listen at this. Hardening of the heart towards a fellow brother is ungodly and is not accepted by Christ. He says that we are our brother's keeper. Can I get a witness? So the hardening by prejudice. They were willing to kill Jesus despite his signs. John chapter 11. Verse 46, 47, and 53 tells us, they killed Jesus out of prejudice.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't kill Jesus because what he said wasn't true. What he said was true. Darkness will always attempt to overtake light. Notice with great interest that the governor of the state of New Mexico is now being lambasted. Because he made an honest truth. And now he's called a Judas. And listen at me, church. Those of you who watch TV and watch all this foolishness, you need to take it in the context of what the scripture says.
Amen.
How could you be great and loving and all that and help me get the Mexican vote in Texas, and now you're Judas? It seems to me that if he was a Judas, he was Judas when he was helping you. In fact, you need to flip that one. Because if you use me and now I'm a Judas, that meant you are a Judas to do what you did to help me get the votes.
Amen.
They even killed Lazarus. Chapter 12, John chapter 12, verse 9 through 11. Church, many are hardened by their prejudice today. And I've already given you some examples. Our prejudice for our traditions, our creed, and our denomination. Oh, y'all might say amen.
Amen.
My denomination is better than yours. You people don't even get dressed on Sunday. What kind of church is that? The kind that Jesus Christ would have been in.
Amen.
Jesus didn't have to wear sandals and that the tarted elementary robe. He could have came wherever he went. He could have had trumpets blowing, and he could have had angels assemble over him. Listen how he gives us the example. Follow Christ. I find nowhere in Scripture where Christ got dressed up. Y'all might as well say amen.
Amen.
Where did this notion about getting dressed up to go to worship come from? It comes from the traditions of men. My precious wife no longer has to worry about on the Sabbath day of running, getting runs in a stocking and going through three or four pair, because in church you got to have stockings on.
Amen.
I just think that was crazy when it was happening. We had a little stack of the fat lady socks up, stockings up there.
Mm.
And she'd sit down and she'd take her hand and do a little, make them spread and pull it up. As soon as you get it up, look down, there's a run, and it come back off. I wish I'd had some stocks in that fat lady stockings. Would have been just as easy to take some Vaseline and rub it on your legs and go on about your business. Now, I knew that's probably funny because I know you can't put grease on your legs. But my point to you is that that is a tradition of man. The thing that they ought to be doing and that they no longer do that is scriptural is that women need to have their head covered.
Amen.
Amen, lights.
Amen.
So we have to take into account about the prejudice that we have today, the prejudice of their belief. And most of them involve around revolution and humanism, and the other big one is we don't want to offend our other denominational, other than the Arabs, the Muslims. But everybody else, we have to join together, because we're all serving the same God. That's the biggest lie from the pits of hell. The God that I serve and the God that you serve, his name is Jehovah. And he has a son that's named Jesus. And no one comes through the Father unless they come through the Son. You all should know what chapter and verse that calls falls in. Where do you find that at? John. Somebody look it up. Y'all get y'all close. Find it.
John 14:6.
Read it, please.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus.
Did y'all hear that? John 14:6. It clearly states that no one comes to the Father unless they come through Jesus.
Amen.
So I don't know what this ecumenical council is all about, because there is only one way. Now, there's an example for you. How many of us got the spiritual perceptiveness and abilities to state that to our Jewish brothers, to our Jehovah Witnesses, and to all these other denominations? I submit to you that very few of us will stand up. John MacArthur, who I have most of his books and several of his Bibles and a great number of his tapes, was on Larry King Live, and that question came up. And I'm going to say it to you so that you can figure out how you'll answer. And the question was, well, MacArthur, are you saying that all these other people who are other than Christians are going to hell? You remember that same question was asked on Larry King about Joel Osteen. And he gave the wrong answer. which was something on the order. Well, that's my place to, you know, to determine where people are going. And then he modified it when he got people complaining all over this country, religious people. Listen closely. John 14:6 says there is no other way. Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
And you and I, if we truly are his disciples, must stand on that. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Let me cover a couple other points and we'll bring this to a close. We will tolerate ungodliness in our friends, in our co-workers, and will not stand up for the truth. You know, many of us have people that we know or work, particularly those in the workforce, where somebody's running with somebody's wife or husband. Oh, come on, y'all. And we know it and will not say one godly word to them about it. Help me, lights.
Amen.
Will not tell them that the wages of sin is death. And if you're sleeping with somebody else's wife or husband or brother, did y'all pick that up? Because nowadays they ain't just sleeping with the sex, they sleep with each other. Church, let me just amplify this for a minute. You got a governor that went down before this one, that this went down. Now we're finding out that the governor, his wife, and the driver all were doing their thing together.
Oh, my.
And the driver has confirmed that. My wife's eyes are wandering around the back of her head. I know children are here. But let me wander my eyes around the back of the head. If they ain't heard more than that, they must got no ears. Do not fool yourself. We are in a corrupt kingdom.
Amen.
The governor of New York, he gets sworn in. Now, I'm going to show you how I ain't got to do with being blind and seeing. He blind, and then he come out there, he pulling his wife. Now, he done got installed in office now. I want to get this straight right now. I had two girlfriends since I've been married, and one was a government employee, but I didn't break any rules. And my wife had a boyfriend, too. What kind of madness is that? No moral indignation? What, because he's blind? I had a blind man work with me when I was in Rubicon. This man was blind, a counselor. And I remember one day, because I was fairly new there at Rubicon, and I remember a female staffer was coming down the hall, and he was walking with the cane, clicking the walls. And she said, "Oh, Mr. Cuff, please, stay here with me." I said, "What's the problem?" "That's Mr. whatever his name was." She said, "When he gets up on close on the women, he feels all over them, talking about, oh, is that you, Sister Jones?" I said, "No, he don't." He said, "Yes, he do." I said, "All right, let me see." And doggone it, if I didn't have to stop him. "I smell a perfume. Is that you, Helen?" So I tell you this to know that you can have a disability and you still can be ungodly. You can be blind. Now, I don't know how the governor can do all these things, but he did it. And I know this sounds funny, but when you really think about it, what kind of foolishness is this? He the governor of one of the biggest states in this country. The other one just got kicked out because he, oh, man, I ain't going in all that. I want you to know that you cannot live ungodly and get away with it.
Amen.
Let's move on and bring this to a close. Last major area I want to talk to you today about is intellectual pride. Did you get that? Intellectual pride. You notice that all these guys that went down, they were all highly educated. The governor of New York went to Yale, and the governor before him went to Yale, I believe, or Harvard. All these highly educated people that doing stupid, dumb things. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not putting down education because I believe that one of the problems with people who are prejudiced and who don't know love Jesus is because they don't know him. Can I get a witness? They don't know Christ. And so, therefore, if you don't know him, if you're ignorant to him, and I'll get to that in a second, you cannot love him.
Amen.
You do not love what you do not know. Now, some of y'all have missed, we're about finished with the book of Romans. And remember, I told you months ago, read Romans. Now, we didn't have Bible study and gone through it, and there's some haven't been on but one, if on any of the calls. Do you think you will have knowledge? You've got to know the book of Romans. Can I get a witness from those who have Bible study?
Amen.
You can shuck through some things, but the teachings you got to know. And so intellectual pride. Our schools foster that. Our schools, our seminaries tell you that there's more than one way to the kingdom. That's backwards thinking. Watch it, church. Don't let somebody, and see, our churches foster that. Three bars on the robe. That's Pharisaic. Nobody care about you going to these schools where they give you degrees. When this Bible was given freely and it says what? Freely pass it on. You see, we don't want that. We want Dr. Dummy to talk to us. That's intellectual pride. My pastor has his doctor's degree. Give me a break. We have 5,000 members in our church. And a full-service snack bar. And a bookstore. And tennis courts out back. Do not fall for the tricks of the devil, church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. Bear with me. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Hello. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligence I will frustrate. Listen to me before I go any further. I'm starting to see the frustration of the intelligence. I watched with sadness a program the other day that talked to the so-called middle-class, well-educated people who are now losing their homes. And heard a 50-year-old man who said, I did everything right. I went to college, got my degrees, got a good job. And he broke out in tears, crying that now I've lost it all and I'm 50 years old. I lost my job. And living in a trailer that leaks when it rains. What am I going to do? You see, church, that's where you and I come in. What do you tell him? You tell him, turn your life over to Jesus. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith.
Amen.
Back to the text. Verse 20 says, Where is the wise man? Where's the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Verse 21, for since the wisdom of God, the world thought its wisdom did not know God. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. You know, it would do you good to write that one down when you're talking to your intellectual friends. I get so irritated with this. You know, you can spot them. Oh, come on, y'all.
Amen.
they have their khaki pants on and their little vest sweaters and their little Oxford shirts.
Amen.
And they talk this high polished rubbish. And they all talk alike.
Amen.
Well, Harry, I'll meet you at the course. There's no sign of Christ. Christ is not in the proudful heart. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
He's
Amen.
In the minds and the hearts of the meek and the humble.
Amen.
And he's bringing down those who thought they were better than others.
Amen.
I live in the neighborhood. We don't have crime in our neighborhood. You will in another couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 31 says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by the human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. See, Jeremiah Wright would have been better if he was quoting scriptures. So that no one may boast before him. Did you get that? No man can boast before God. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, who has become for us the wisdom. Did you get that? Jesus gives us wisdom of God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Did y'all get all that? You got one to go and we're finished. Ignorance. Ignorance. I-G-N-O-R-A-N-C-E. Ignorance. Ignorance is despicable. Because if a person is ignorant, they can do damage beyond damage. I mentioned to you earlier in the sermon that I listened to a gentleman who gave a inspirational talk related to the business that I do, and he was talking about sowing and reaping. And he said that, as the scripture says, that some seeds fall on stony ground, and some fall on thorns and thistles. And then he put those in terms of people. When you try to stand up for Christ, there will be those who says, you don't believe that. That book was written by a white man for black people. You're more educated than that. You finished college. You believe that stuff? Oh, come on, somebody. You see, those are the seeds that fall where the devil pulls them away from Christ. And some are the thistles. And what this gentleman was saying is that people will parry chicken you and keep you down picking up corn and stones. In the black community, we call it crabbing. We're not going to lift you up. We're going to pull you back down in that bushel with me.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's ignorance.
Amen.
Remember when my children moved from New York down here to Richmond. And my kids came outside and said, good morning. And all the kids in the neighborhoods laughed at that. That was funny.
Amen.
Y'all sound like white people. Listen at me. Ignorance is dangerous. And I don't care whose ignorant it is. We got some neighborhoods around nearby this house that are full of ignorant people. We got Oregon Hill said on the back of a decal, somebody mentioned me yesterday, it says that better be a suntan, or you better not be in here.
Mm-hmm.
That's still up on Oregon Hill.
Mm-hmm.
It's ignorance. Listen at me. You and I have the ability to have knowledge. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You see the ignorance of facts and learning the wrong conclusions, John chapter 7, verse 40 to 43 tells us. You see, they thought Jesus was born in Nazareth and not in Bethlehem. This ignorance, I'm going to get on it and get off it. You see, many reject Christ out of ignorance today.
Amen.
We got a lot of people who are hanging that Old Testament and know nothing about the New Testament. Come on with me. You see, the New Testament requires you to do something. The Old Testament tells you what others did. If you would understand it, you would know you got to go to the other side to find out what it is we're supposed to do. Matthew says, if your righteousness does not exceed that of the Pharisees and scribes, you haven't done nothing. So you have to read the New Testament, church. You need to know it from cover to cover, part to part, because your faith is tied to it. Your salvation is tied to it. Your peace and your joy and your happiness is tied to it. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen. Some people have to consider evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's ignorance. If you read God's word, you know what happened. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And many today will play this Easter egg hunt and all this other stuff because it's ignorance that they're operating under.
Amen.
Are y'all hearing me?
Amen.
Do not be deceived. You and I must study to find ourselves approved. You see, people reject the truth of God's word and his church. You and I must be like the noble Bereans, B-E-R-E-A-N-S, Acts chapter 17, verse 11, like the 7-11, but it's the 17-11. In conclusion. And I do mean conclusion. Do you believe in Jesus? If not, why not? I'm not talking to you on this call. I'm talking to those who will get this tape. Could it be a lack of spiritual perception? Could it be out of fear of moral cowardice? Could it be a misplaced love? Could it be prejudice or hardened hearts? Could it be out of intellectual pride? Or could it be simply out of ignorance? I pray all of us in Word of God, church does not fit any of those categories. But I submit to you that somebody in this church fits some of those categories. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You and our Father know. And all you have to do is ask him. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
He'll take it away from you. Do you want to believe in Jesus? Remember what he offers you. Fellowship with God. Salvation from sin. He guides his church throughout our life. One of the saddest things to see right now is that all these people who are getting ready going in this calamity of losing all their I mean, it's not only housing, they're losing their retirement money. Can you visualize a 60-some-year-old person that worked all their life and now they're going to get their money and it ain't none there? And they got arthritis and diabetes and can't have sleep and sure enough can't stay awake. And now they got to go back to find another job because of the greed in this nation. We must pray and turn to God, church. The next time you brush your teeth, are you sure you're brushing with toothpaste that was made in this country or in China? Or when you eat a piece of fish, where did it come from? Or you go to McDonald's and get a hamburger, what cow did it come from? We live in perilous times. Most of our medicine comes from China. Most of our food has sodium benzoate in it, which is a poison. We live in terrible times. So the question still is, why do they not believe? And so I leave you with those words as we bring this to a close. We who are of the faith know the truth, and the word says it will set us free. So let the word, in particular the gospel of John, give you evidence necessary to believe in Jesus, church, that you might have life through his name. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And John chapter 20, verse 30 to 33 says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And so as we close, the question is, it was John chapter 20, verse 30 through 31. And so we come to the end of this sermon. I pray God has blessed you and that he's enlightened you. And now we come to the time for prayer, Deacon Edison.
Church, say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to come to you again from the Living Bible. You would turn with me to John chapter 12, verse 35, and I'll skip down to verse 44 through 50. Church has to say amen.
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 Jesus replied, my light will shine out for all, for you. Just a fire. Walk in it. You walk in it while you can.
Amen.
And go where you want to go before the darkness falls. For then it will be too late for you to find your way. Make use while you still have time. Then you will become light bearers. After saying these things, Jesus went away and was hidden from them.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 44. He shouted to the crowd, if you trust me, you are really trusting God.
Amen.
For then you see me. You are seeing one who sent me.
Amen.
I have come as a light to shine in the dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer wander in the darkness. If anyone hears me and does obey me, I am not his judge, for I have come to save the world and not to judge it. But all who reject me and my message will be judged on that day of judgment by the truth I have spoken. For these are not my words, my own ideals, I have told you what the Father has told you. And I know his instructions led to eternal life. So whatever he tells me, I say. May God have a blessing to the reading of his words as we look into our own spiritual mirrors and hope that we not only understand what the Spirit is leading us and what God is saying, and that we don't forget what the Spirit has shown us, but keep that as a light to walk by each day and each moment. May God have a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen.
Amen.
While we're waiting for communion, I read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You need the offertory. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, I'll start with. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner may be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man ought to examine himself. In so doing, he is to eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For these reasons, many among you are weak and sick, and a number are asleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we could not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned among the world. So, church, we have to always examine ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
As we prepare our hearts for communion. We're still serving people. Amen. All on the call, have your communion ready.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I was funny about jeans and stuff. I was looking at the little Dwayne and looked just like his mother while she was asleep here for a brief moment.
Amen.
But I work with you now, Bray. Yeah, God bless your heart. All right. Everybody's been served?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we ask now that you bless this bread and this wine, which symbolize the body and the blood of our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and the sins of the world. On this Sabbath day and this day that we refer to as Easter, we thank you for your mercies and grace upon this church and each member of it. We thank you for returning Joseph safely to us, where we are all united together, one body in Christ.
Amen.
We pray these and all of the blessings in Jesus' precious name. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
As you know, that we're taught that as often as we take this bread and this wine, which symbolize the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, until he comes again, we must always eternalize and know about the Christ. Let us commune together upon his blood, a body. Most Holy Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. We pray your mercy and grace upon this flock, Lord God, that you guide and direct our paths. I pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And our Lord took the cup which symbolized his blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Let us commune together on the blood of the Savior that was shed for us. Lord God, your Son, you sacrificed him for us. And we pray your mercy on us when we don't act like that happened. Help us to cleanse our minds and our souls and put all of our attention on being obedient unto your Son, Jesus. I pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Trustee Reeves, if you would give us an offertory.
We collected $206 last Sunday, and so our total for March so far is $375.85.
And the church, amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we ask that those who gave these offerings and those who had not to give, that you bless equally. Your word says that you let the sun and the rain shine on us all. So we thank you, Father God. We ask that you will give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the power to use it to the uplifting of your kingdom here on earth. I pray these and all other blessings in the mighty and precious name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
In closing, I want to make sure that if you need a DVD, a tape, a CD, we now have the new ones. We didn't have to pay for them. They sent them to us. And I have to send back the what we have left, which is about 75% of them. And so if you want to email me in, or if you have somebody you want us to mail them to, if you would email those names and addresses and all that in, and we'll get them out. Now, here's the other thing that I need you to do. You need to go to the church website and determine which tapes you want, which ones you want on CD. Amen?
Amen.
Because now we have those who've been out there. And by the way, God bless those who are going there. I can see it tells me how many people have actually listened to the sermon. At last count, there were 24 who had listened at sermons. Some like 7 or 8 had downloaded sermons. And 6 or 7 had passed email sermons on to others. So you can go to our church website and you can email right off that server a sermon to somebody. And so I encourage you, that's something that's easy to do. And also anybody that is not on the list, and some are not because I sent out that spam notice and I've only gotten 2 people back now that have responded to it. And I know that there are a lot of people we know that need to hear God's word. Amen.
Amen.
Mimi, we got yours, and Bree, I know that we have a tape to make for you. All these will go out, be finished tomorrow. And as you probably are aware, that these sermons are out there within a matter of 2 or 3 hours on Sunday. As soon as it settles down, I go out and do them. It takes a while to download it, but it's there, and the latest they're there Monday morning. All minds clear?
Amen.
Pray God's blessing on each one of you, and as you have your time together for Easter, just keep them bunnies out of the house. No, you got to do what you got to do. My grandson turned around and looked at me like I was crazy. God bless you all. May heaven smile on you, and we'll gather together on Wednesday for Bible study. God bless you all.
God bless you, and have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Mr. Corbin. God bless y'all all.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.